The Bible contains many accounts of God providing miraculously for his people, but none are more fascinating than the story of the widow's oil. Hi, I'm Rob West. That passage is found in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. It's just seven verses, but they're loaded with teaching about God's provision. Sharon Epps joins us today to unpack the story of the widow's oil and how we can apply it to our lives today. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's definitely one of the highlights of the month when Sharon Epps stops by. Sharon is president of Kingdom Advisors and a frequent contributor to FaithFi. And Sharon, great to have you here.
Always love to be here.
Sharon, I know you've broken down the story of the widow's oil basically into God's part and the widow's part, but I'd love to start today by just reading these passages from Scripture.
Oh, I love hearing God's word read.
Let's do it. So we're going into 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "The servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Wow, that's a powerful portion of Scripture. Sharon, I know we're going to unpack this. Why don't we start with God's part in this story?
Well, this is my favorite probably story on God's part and our part because it becomes so, so clear. Yeah. God's part in this story was he was the provider of the oil. She had no way to get oil. And he also provided the buyers to purchase the oil to pay off the debt. And so you see that she literally was totally relying on God for her increase, for her supply that she needed to meet her family needs.
She was totally dependent upon God. Yeah, that is very clear. What else can you take away from this?
Well, I think that it's easy to think God doesn't do miracles like that today. And yet there's some key lessons on the widow's part too, because she didn't just sit still and wait for God to pour the oil into her hands. First of all, she asked for help from Elisha in the first place.
Yeah.
She then obeyed the instructions. She gathered the jars, poured the oil, and sold the oil. So even though God's our provider, she had a huge part to play in gathering what he gave to her. And I think that's so important. And when we start to think about God's role and our role in our lives, we see that although he could just pour out what we need, he expects us to participate. And yet the flip side's true too. We don't earn it on our own. It comes from him.
What a wonderful picture of God's provision and, to your point, our role in that. Now, there's something in particular you and I talked about just a moment ago, and that was what we see in verse 3.
I love verse 3 because Elisha said, "Go around, ask all your neighbors for empty jars." And he said, "Don't ask for just a few." And so do you realize that the one factor that seemed to limit the oil that was given to the widow was how many jars she collected?
Yeah.
He seemed to tie the amount of oil that would be given to the number of vessels she collected. The number of empty jars she collected could be seen as a physical manifestation of her faith.
That is incredible. And I love how it says right there, when there was not a jar left, the oil stopped flowing at that point.
It did. Not too much or too little.
Yeah. God always provides just the right amount. Well, Sharon, we're just getting started here. We've talked about God's part in this. You've touched on our part, but we want to continue to unpack this today as we talk about this powerful passage from God's word found in 2 Kings 4. It's the widow's oil. What can you take away and apply to to your wise and faithful stewardship of God's resources with total dependence and trust in Him. Sharon Epps here today. She's president of Kingdom Advisors. We'll continue to unpack the story of the widow's oil just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
There are some things every athlete has in common, regardless of their sport. They've had to learn discipline and perseverance, how to push through pain, get past discouragement, learn to compete mentally and physically, and they've had to learn how to overcome their fears. I've always found it fascinating how many New Testament writers use athletic language to describe the Christian life. Hebrews 12 talks about the race we run and tells us how to run. It says we do this by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So today, if you're weary, fix your eyes on Jesus. Get daily encouragement for your walk with Anchor Devotional. Try it out. Visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way. 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I'm so thankful you're joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Sharon Epps, frequent contributor and president of Kingdom Advisors. We're talking about one of Sharon's favorite passages in Scripture. You may know it well. It's the story of the widow's oil found in 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. And Sharon, we talked about how this is such a beautiful illustration, picture of God's part and our part in stewardship. But let's begin to drill down. What principles can we glean from the steps taken by the widow in this story?
Well, first of all, I'd like to mention something that I alluded to earlier, and that is God doesn't work the same miracle in all of our lives. Mm-hmm. However, the same God is at work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we can safely take some of these principles and apply them to our lives. So there's just a few. Wow. In fact, I'd love to hear others that people come up with. But one that's very obvious to me is God provides. And of course, we mentioned that. But I think sometimes we gloss over that and don't really recognize and understand that He even provides the energy we have to go to work. So we certainly are reliant on Him. I think the other part is our job, and our job is faithfulness to his instruction. And I think in today's society, sometimes it's easy to dismiss our part in all of this, be frustrated with our jobs if they're not perfect, or perhaps if they're slow coming and we are looking for a job, but realize that God calls us to be faithful with whatever he's called us to do right now. I think the third thing that might not be quite as obvious, but the importance of seeking counsel. This widow literally was destitute. She had no money, no job, and she reached out to the prophet for help. And we need to do that as well. When we're in a place that we are having a hard time, seeking counsel and help from others is one of the ways that God takes care of us. And then finally, and this one comes from perhaps the man before he died, and that is, don't bet on the future. I am sure that the widow was just overwhelmed by the debt that he left. And so as you think about your financial planning and what the steps that you're taking, be sure and consider what could happen if God called you home and you left your spouse with debt, because I think that's a big piece to this, is how she got there in the first place.
Wow. Just seven verses and so much there that we can learn from and apply to our financial lives. And Sharon, I can't help but think that this has to be an encouragement to somebody listening to our voices today that's in that desperate situation that this widow was.
Well, let's think about maybe the top five or six things to do.
Okay.
First of all, rely on God. Look to him for guidance rather than your own abilities. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a tough situation, a lot of times I just start thinking about what can I do? What can I do?
Yes.
And looking to him and saying, what can you do? Secondly, seek wise counsel. We mentioned that. But the importance of finding fellow believers that can encourage you on your journey and perhaps give you alternatives you've never thought of before. Third, do your part. I just can't emphasize enough, whatever he has put in front of you for today, whether it's going to a job that's not your favorite job, whether it is making a phone call to ask for a connection or a referral if you're looking for a job, all of those things are things that God uses to develop his plan in your life. And then this one's fun for me. Involve your family. I don't know if you notice, but the widow involved her sons in filling the jars of oil.
Yeah.
And I think often we kind of leave the kids out because we don't want them to be burdened by our situation. And yet it actually bonds the family together and they get to see the miracle of God's provision when you involve them in the process. Then borrowing can potentially leave my family in trouble if I die or lose my income. That's just an important thing to remember as you're evaluating currently where you are financially. And then what I always love to say is, what do you already have that God might use to meet others' needs? So that's flipping it a bit. Maybe you're not the one that's in need, but do you have jars? Do you have jars that a neighbor might use to fulfill what God has for them in their lives?
Oh, wow. That is so rich. And there is so much there. We could spend hours unpacking all of this. Sharon, one thing that jumps out at me as we think about this idea of God being our provider, everything coming from him. You know, we've been talking a lot lately about the parable of the rich fool in the New Testament. And, you know, right there in that passage, we see this rich fool saying, look what I did by the work of my hands. And it strikes me how clear the distinction is between seeing God as our provider and thinking that we do everything in our own efforts.
Oh, absolutely. And somehow it really relieves the burden when I realize God's role in it all and my role. And I find so often I try to take on God's role if I don't specifically call it out.
Yeah, that's good. Sharon, I want to talk about the wise counsel piece of this for a moment, because clearly this applies to somebody in a desperate financial situation where they just don't know how they're going to pay their next bill. There can be folks out there listening today in an equally desperate situation that have an abundance.
Yes.
Maybe they're concerned about the wealth being passed to the next generation, and it could lead them or propel them away from God. And so it doesn't mean necessarily that I'm lacking in resources and I can still need that wise counsel.
Oh, there's so many things that we just talked about that applies exactly there. For one thing, you may be the neighbor with the jars. And so as you're thinking about that burden of your your wealth, think about where your jars need to go. Perhaps some of them go to your children, but I bet there's other people in need that you could share them with as well.
Oh, wow, that's good. Now, Sharon, we mentioned that you're president of Kingdom Advisors, and whenever I think of wise counsel, I think of Kingdom Advisors. So why don't we take just a moment and talk about the importance of seeking wise counsel that can align with your values as a believer.
Absolutely. So when we certify a Kingdom Advisor, it means that that person has been through rigorous standards to know how to apply God's financial teaching into your financial decision making. And they can help walk you through your biblical worldview so that your decisions can align with that. That's why we so firmly believe in the Certified Kingdom Advisor, and why we mention them so much on Faith and Finance.
Yeah, and you can go to faithfi.com right there at the top of the page and click Find a Professional. Again, that's faithfi.com. Let's tie a bow on this, Sharon, and maybe finish with that last point, which I know is a topic that you absolutely love, and that is look at what we already have and see how we can use it to meet the needs of others. And that's generosity, which is one of God's big ideas as it relates to our stewardship.
I'm just amazed at how many times God has already placed in our hands what we can give to others, and we may have just categorized it a little differently. And so when I'm speaking with people who have a heart for generosity, I ask them to do a personal inventory first and look in not only their bank accounts, but their assets. I mean, oftentimes people have a second home they're not using. In fact, we heard that story just last week of someone that sold a second home because they didn't need it and they had a heart for giving to others.
Oh, that's great. Well, Sharon, I'm so thankful for your time today, your insights into this passage. I'm confident this has been an encouragement to folks and given them practical instruction on how they can take this and apply it to their financial lives. Thanks for stopping by.
So glad to be here.
Folks, the reminder today, God provides. Our job is faithfulness to his instruction. Seek wise counsel and help from others, and don't bet on the future. I hope this passage from 2 Kings has been an encouragement to you today. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be tackling your financial questions today on any financial topic, helping you apply God's word to those decisions and choices. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Bentagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members at AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Well, it's the last week of the month, a big week for us here at FaithFi as we head toward the end of our fiscal year on June the 30th. That's Sunday, which means the last few broadcast days of this program. And it would be a real blessing for you to come alongside us with your financial support. In fact, some donors, some supporters of the ministry have gone before you to challenge you to do just that. They put up $50,000 and said, let's encourage others to do the same as they come in with gifts of all sizes to reach another $50,000 to close out our gap for the year and prepare us for another year of ministry. How are we doing? Well, we're making great progress. Over $20,000 already in the door, so just under $30,000 remaining, and we've got about 5 days to do it. So if you've been blessed by the program, maybe you listen regularly and you'd like to make a gift before June the 30th, that's Sunday, of any amount, big or small, $100, $500, perhaps you could do a bit more and do a $1,000 gift, we'd certainly be grateful. Just head to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give right there at the top of the page. All right, we're going to begin taking your calls and questions today. What a joy to have Sharon Epps here to talk about one of my favorite stories in God's Word, the story of the widow's oil. I hope that was an encouragement to you today as you apply that to your life and specifically how you view God's money. But we want to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. I've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Also coming up in our final segment today, Bob Dahl stops by. We'll see what's on Bob's mind as we have another strong week in the markets, although the Dow off a bit today. We're still sitting near record highs on just about all the indexes. We'll get Bob's take on what's moving the markets, the latest economic data. We'll also get a preview of the presidential debate tomorrow and what he wants to hear from these candidates with regard to fiscal restraint and economics. But let's head to the phones here today. We'll go to Oklahoma. Hi, Dean. How can we help you, sir?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking for some advice on some credit card consolidation. And I've contacted a few places, and it seemed like they were more of a loan me money than a consolidation to one payment type thing. So I was wondering if you could help me or direct me in a biblically founded institution that would help me with that.
Well, you've come to the right place on that, Dean. Let me ask you, about how much do you have in total credit card debt that you're looking to pay off?
About $30,000.
Okay. And you're paying the minimums on that right now, and are you current on that?
Yes, paying the minimums and current, but just throwing money out the window.
Oh, I get it. I get it. I mean, especially with these interest rates where they are right now, absolutely, we want to get this taken care of. Would you say you're spending or you're sending about $900 a month? I'm guessing it's about 3% of the balance each month. Does that sound about right?
Yes, and my wife actually handles the financial part of our situation. That sounds about right.
Okay, very good. So there's really three options when it comes to paying off credit card debt, unless you just kind of do it yourself and snowball it, which doesn't make sense with this amount of debt, especially at these high interest rates. So, and I only would advocate for one of them. I would stay far away from the other two. The first is what's called debt settlement, where you essentially, they'll tell you to stop paying them. They'll let them get to a past due status, even collections. They'll get you to start making making a monthly payment to build a war chest, and then they'll try to come in behind you and negotiate on your behalf a settlement or a reduced payback, but it's a disaster because it'll trash your credit. You know, they could seek a judgment against you. You're going to get calls from the collection agencies, if whether that's in-house or they sell it outside. So I'd stay away from debt settlement. The second option is a debt consolidation program where there's a new loan taken out to pay off the existing loans, the idea being that that is at a lower interest rate and we get those credit cards paid off and then you have one monthly payment to pay the loan consolidation. I don't like that either because even though the interest rate may come down, often it kind of strings out the payment longer. It takes the pressure off because the interest rate's lower and often you're not as concerned about getting it paid back. But perhaps the biggest issue, and you'll have to tell me whether this is still a factor, is it doesn't solve the problem that got you in the debt in the first place, which is usually, now, maybe different for you, may have been an isolated event or something, but it's usually lifestyle spending beyond your means. And that approach just over the years of doing this, I can tell you how many times I've had somebody say, they call me back 6 months later and they say, okay, Rob, now I got the consolidation loan and guess what? The credit cards are back. So the third option, which is what I'm going to recommend to you, is what's called debt management. Now, how does that work? Well, the debt stays right where it is with the existing creditors. You go through a nonprofit credit counseling agency. There is a set program in place and each one of your existing creditors will have a credit counseling rate, often a half or more lower in the terms of the interest rate than what you're paying today. So if you're 22, maybe it becomes 10 or 9 or 12. So they drop those interest rates. There's no negotiation. It's automatic. You pay one monthly payment to the credit counseling agency, one level payment, and then they send it on to the creditors, which is required in order to get into these programs. It's not a part of the credit scoring algorithm. And the idea is that between sending the level payment, meaning it's not coming down as the balances come down, and the drastic reduction in interest rates, you'll pay this debt back on average 80% faster. And you'll establish the rhythms of, you know, not spending beyond your means because each of these cards that you put into the program will be closed. Now, could you keep one out? Sure, if you wanted to, because you may want to use it for convenience purposes, or you may say, no, we're done with that. We're going to cash and debit cards. That'd be fine, too. My preferred solution for that is ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They've worked with hundreds of our members. They're phenomenal. They're all believers, and they'll get you taken care of. How does that sound?
That's definitely what I'm looking for, and you nailed the other two. The first one we did actually just last week were in talks with the first option that you mentioned,
Awesome. I've got to hit a break, unfortunately. Let's you and I finish up off the air. Dean, God bless you, buddy. We'll talk real soon. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, this is Ron Blue, and I've personally witnessed how God is using FaithFi and the Faith and Finance program to encourage and equip people to seek God's word on how to be a faithful steward. When you support this ministry, know that your gift is being used to build and equip kingdom people. Please prayerfully consider sending a gift at faithfi.com today.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I had a chance to visit a bit more with Dean off the air, and he said, you know what, those were exactly the things we were looking at, the debt settlement where we stopped paying these things and even a loan consolidation. And he just said, this is exactly what we're looking for. So thrilled. Dean, you got this. We're going to be praying for you. I would encourage you to call us back once you pay off that $30,000 in credit card debt so we can celebrate with you, my friend. But thanks for being on the program today. We've got a few lines open today, folks. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000, whether you have some debt to pay off, you're looking to give more effectively, perhaps beyond what you thought you could have, or maybe you're just trying to stay on budget in light of these runaway prices on just about everything, give us a call, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. We're going to head out to Ohio and welcome Tony to the broadcast. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a couple of questions. So I've got a couple of investments with my investment manager. Everything comes out to about $750,000. I'm being charged 1%, which I'm assuming is a standard fee. But then I was speaking with another company, and they mentioned that most of my investments were primarily focused on 6 ETFs, and based on that, there's not a lot of management involved, and I shouldn't be charged 1%. More like 0.8%-ish is what they charge. So I was just calling to get a second opinion on that, because what they said kind of made sense. It was like, yeah, it looks like I just got lumped into some standard ETF, so there's not a whole lot going on there. So I just wanted to get a second opinion about that.
Yeah, it's a great question, Tony, and I think you have a fair point here. First of all, yes, 1% would be normal and customary. I would say it might even be slightly, if it's going to skew one direction or the other, it's probably on the lower end for $750,000. So I would say for a money manager, an investment advisor who's managing this portfolio, I'll say actively. Now, that's not meaning that they're trading it, you know, every day or even every month, but there's active oversight and management of this, then that would be very appropriate. I think the case to be made is what your friend pointed out, and that is if it's really, truly, in practice, a passive strategy where they've just picked some broad ETFs that represent the broad market, and obviously they're bringing their skill set to bear to determine kind of which indexes you're in, which ETFs, but it's just kind of a set it and forget it, and you're just kind of capturing the broad moves of the market, you're right. That would warrant, in most cases, a lower fee just because they're really isn't active management going on. So now I think the next step is to raise the question and just say, hey, you know, let's talk about this. Is this really in effect a passive strategy? And if so, is 1% on $750,000, $7,500 a year appropriate? I don't think it is. Now, what they may come back in and say is, wait a minute, yes, we're using ETFs, but we have an active strategy that, you know, allows us to move in and out of certain sectors, and we're dialing up, you know, international, we're dialing down bonds when the interest rates were rising. And, you know, so even though we're using low-cost ETFs, there's an active approach here. And I could get on board with that because ETFs are a very effective way to manage money, even on an active basis. The question is that what's happening here? Or did they just kind of buy the broad market and park it? And then I think if that's the case, and the history on the account will tell you that pretty clearly, then I think you do have a case to be made here that you might be overpaying. Does that all make sense?
Yes, it does. And thank you for that. So I'll definitely follow up on that. The second quick question I have is, so on my current mortgage, I owe about 50 grand. The house itself is worth maybe 380. I have the ability to pay it off this year. And I'm trying to figure out, should I pay it off? Because I have it at a 2.75% rate is what I have.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to see, do I pay it off?
It's a phenomenal rate. And I think there might have been a spike in envy out there from some folks hearing you describe that rate now, if they've secured a mortgage anytime soon, you know, being at 7. You know, here's the way I always approach that. Number one is, where would the funds come from, and would paying it off kind of deplete sufficient reserves for you to have some flexibility in your financial life? That's my first question.
I have fairly liquid cash right now. So I could conceivably say that by the end of the year, yes, I could pay it off if I wanted to.
But would you still have, let's say, 6 months worth of emergency reserves?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, great. So it's not going to get you to a place where you're just illiquid, even if you pay it off.
No.
So that's number one. Okay, number two is, there's the financial side, which obviously at that rate, there's not as compelling a reason to pay it off financially, because you can do better today, even in CDs, right? You could, you know, almost double the rate of return over the next 12 months, let's say. You could buy a 10-year treasury at, you know, 4.3 right now, and hold for 10 years and, you know, do better even after taxes. But there's also the non-financial side of this, which just says, you know what, I've got a conviction, perhaps just personally or even from the Lord, me or my wife or both of us, to be debt free, regardless of the financial side of this. Is that a part of this?
No, we're actually debt free. I mean, besides the mortgage, we don't have any debts at all. No car loans, credit cards, nothing like that. No.
Yeah. So the real motivation is just, hey, we'd love to get this one knocked off. We don't have to think about it anymore. You know, that's why we would want to do this. And I guess the second part of that is, where is this money that you would be using currently? Is it just in high yield savings or something else? Oh, did I lose you, Tony? All right, I think I lost you. Let me just kind of land the plane here. This is really, I mean, you could go either way. I mean, I think if you guys aren't itching to get this paid off, I'd probably, you know, keep that money invested. Make sure you are investing it and doing something with it to get a good return on the money. And then just out of current cash flow, just work to accelerate that mortgage payoff. And you guys will probably have that knocked off in a few years anyway. You've got a nice low rate, and let's keep that money working for you. If at the end of the day, it's simpler and you just kind of like like the idea of saying we're completely out of debt, then I would go ahead and pay it off and not look back, and you probably won't regret that. I've never gotten a call from somebody in all the years I've been doing this that said, hey, I paid off my mortgage, and man, I've regretted it ever since. I just don't get that call. But in your case, just given what that money could be doing elsewhere, whether it's in high-yield savings, CDs, or invested in the market, or you could find a way to get it into more of a tax-deferred environment like a Roth IRA or something like that, I kind of like that option just given how low, you know, this interest rate is. You still, you know, have some time between now and retirement. Certainly, we want the house paid off by retirement, but you're probably going to do that way before that anyway. So I'd probably come down on the side of let's hang on to the mortgage, let's accelerate it out of current cash flow, and let's deploy that cash in a way that makes sense in light of your goals and priorities. But if you guys decided, either you or your wife, we'd rather just knock it out, I wouldn't object whatsoever. Tony, thanks for your call today. We appreciate it, sir. Andy, coming your way after the break, and room for more questions. 800-525-7000. Also, Bob Dahl joins us in the next segment as well. We'll be right back.
Making sense of the issues of the day with the help of American Family News.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Fred, next story.
All right, along the lines of what you gentlemen have been talking about, we're learning more and more
We've been waxing eloquent.
Okay, waxing eloquent.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Every song has a story. Like a frame around a picture, that story can help you understand and see the beauty in a fresh way. I'm David Wolin. Join me all week on Haven Today as we take a fresh look at great hymns of the faith and the stories behind them in a series called The Story Behind the Song.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. But here in our final segment today, we're joined by Bob Dahl. Bob is a good friend. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. And Bob, boy, it seems like the market can't make up its mind. Is it tech and NASDAQ, or is it going to expand beyond that and move into some a few of these sectors that perhaps have underperformed? What do you make of just kind of the breadth of the market right now?
You nailed it, Rob. It's one day it's the NASDAQ and tech leading and everything else is and also ran, and the next day it's just the opposite.
Right.
Today it's kind of a neutral day, so not much either way so far. Look, I think the market is trying to figure out, is the economy slowing? How much? Are these tech stocks overvalued? And get a lot of yin and yang and back and forth. And those things, that's normal, and that could go on for weeks. I think investors in each category need to have a few good names where the earnings are fairly predictable and the stocks are not overly expensive. It's not one or the other. It's the best of both sides.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bob, obviously tomorrow night is the presidential debate. The economy will be front and center. There's been a lot of talk lately just about the Trump tariffs. Obviously, he wants to make the tax cuts permanent. He wants to deregulate. That's, of course, pro-business. We know just based on his record, I think it was 3 out of 4 years in his presidency, CPI was down. So, at least we know historically his policies were not inflationary. But what are you looking to hear? And what about fiscal restraint? And do you think we'll hear any narrative around that?
Well, the fiscal restraint, how do you spell that, Rob? I don't think we'll hear that from either gentleman. The campaigns are and the promises or the policies are likely to lead to ever wider deficits. Nobody's blowing the whistle yet, and therefore austerity is not finding its way in. It's who can do more. And you started with the tariffs. Tariffs, to the extent they're being talked about, could be both anti-economic growth and bad news for inflation. It's the numbers are just so big. So I'm going to be listening for moderation on both sides. That is, wouldn't it be great if we could spend a little less money somewhere? And two, tariffs can make sense, but let's not overdo it and bury the world economy, including our own.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, we'll certainly keep an ear out for all of that. Bob, what about just the overall health of the economy in light of the most recent data? We've got some new payroll data. We've got retail sales. I mean, just give us a broad brush look.
So my view, and there are other views, is the economy for sure and finally is slowing. You mentioned jobs as an example. While the monthly payroll number that we get every first Friday of every month has not yet deteriorated, underneath the surface, unemployment's ticking up, temporary employment is struggling, the work week is declining, household employment, job openings, they're all pointing to economic slowdown. Eventually, the payroll numbers will see it. So my guess is we are witnessing some slowdown, and those who think not are going to be disappointed. And then the question will become, if we are slowing, how long does that slowdown last and how deep does it get? Does the word recession come back in people's vocabulary, or just is this just a pause that refreshes and only time will tell?
Yeah. Bob, obviously you can't predict the future, but what is your latest thinking just as you listen to the Fed, as you evaluate the data? You think we're going to get cuts this year? And if so, you think perhaps two or more?
So believing the economy is slowing, and that's an important proviso to what I'm about to say, I think that will enable, force, allow, whatever the word is, the Fed to begin the interest rate reduction process. My best guess, and it could change next week, Rob, depending on the data, is that maybe one in September and one in December.
All right. Very good. Bob, let's finish with something that will blow our listeners' minds. You had some comments in this week's market commentary about NVIDIA, and I think this is just underscores what's going on in this tech space, specifically, though, in the case of AI with NVIDIA. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was just an observation about how big NVIDIA's gotten. That is to say, its market cap, larger than all but 7 countries' GDP on the planet.
Wow.
Larger than the net worth of the world's 12 richest people. Mm-hmm. Larger than the entire oil and gas industry in the United States. This is a big one.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And a lot of people have bet on it, invested in it, speculated. There are all kinds of investors in NVIDIA. And to add to that, the volume of NVIDIA that trades every day is mind-boggling relative to even its big capitalization. It's a wild story. It'll go in the history books.
It sure will. It's fascinating. It really is. All right, Bob, grateful for you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by today.
Have a great rest of the week.
All right, that's Bob Dahl. You can sign up for his market commentary called Dahl's Deliberations. Have it delivered to your inbox each week at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, let's finish out the broadcast today. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's go to Louisiana. Hi, Tino. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Basically, I have 6 months of reserves. And financially speaking, I'm considered to be pretty much stable. I have that reserve in savings.
Yeah.
and it's quite substantial. What should I do? And should I keep it on a savings? Can I get a higher rate of return? What would you advise me to do?
Yeah, what are you getting in terms of an APR on that high-yield savings?
It's very low.
Okay.
Maybe less than 1%. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's no reason for that. So I would definitely make a move. First of all, let me just encourage you. Great job in getting 6 months worth of reserves and being in a stable spot here. That's no small feat, and that'll serve you well. What I would do is open an online savings account. You can keep your existing banking relationship if you're happy with it for your checking account, what you might call your operating account. Maybe you're with a local brick and mortar bank, but I'd open an online savings and then link the two electronically. And that way you can just move the money back and forth at will. I would go to bankrate.com. That's bankrate.com. Click on high yield savings, and staring you in the face will be several options between 4.5% and 5.25% that are 5-star rated, that all have FDIC insurance. You could read some reviews on them, you know, at NerdWallet or right there at Bankrate. Pick one that you feel like has a good fit. And then you'd move that money electronically once it's set up, and that you can do online in a few minutes. And then you'd get that 5%, you know, at least for now. And then if you need any of it within a couple of days, fee free, you can move the money back to your checking account through the ACH system in probably 2 business days. How does that sound?
Perfect.
Bankrate.com. Bankrate.com. Click on high yield savings. Yes, sir. Thanks for your call. To Illinois. Hi, John. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to find out. I'm 59 and 2 months old, and I'm going to be turning 59, and I'm not for sure what to do with my 401k money, and I have a portable pension also. They say at 59 and a half to put it in like a backdoor IRA or something like that. Would you go talk to a financial advisor about doing something like that? Or would you, I want to retire at 62. Would you go talk to somebody about a program for retirement?
Yeah. Yeah. I think some retirement planning is very appropriate right now. I mean, this is basically what you're talking about is a very effective strategy. The backdoor Roth, which is just the name for the strategy of converting a non-deductible contribution in a traditional IRA to a Roth. If that's the case. Now, obviously, if this is already in a tax-deferred environment, you don't need to use the back door. You'd do a Roth conversion. But I think having an advisor weigh your potential returns at this point, given your proximity to retirement versus the taxes that you would pay on that conversion, which would be pretty substantial. That's where I think some planning comes in. And then somebody who can just look at with a broad brush at your overall financial picture and help you determine what is your ultimate savings goal? What is your retirement budget going to look like? How much can you expect from Social Security? And how do you position the investments, whether that's your, 401k or any other assets, to be ready for retirement so that you've got a plan, you're not guessing, you're working towards something. So I'd recommend you head to our website, faithfi.com, click on Find a Professional, and you could interview 2 or 3 of those certified Kingdom advisors on our website, find the one that's the best fit. At this point, you're probably looking for just fee-based planning. It may result in now or in the future investment management, but I think the key right now is the planning side of it. Again, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional. Quickly to Indiana, Andy, I've got just a minute. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks so much for taking my call. I got a couple quick questions. One of them is, I got some money in savings. I think you answered that with one of your previous callers. Go to cdrate.com and find a better CD rate, a better interest rate.
Bankrate.com, yes, sir.
Okay. And then the other one is, I owe $7,500 on my truck payment, and I got enough emergency funds. Should I just go ahead and pay that off?
I like that idea, so long as it doesn't deplete you below, let's say, 3 months' worth of expenses. But the good news is, and even if you went down to maybe 2 months, as long as everything looks pretty stable, the key is, as soon as you pay off that truck, let's take that monthly payment and don't just absorb that in more lifestyle spending. Let's make that back automatically into your savings to build it back up. But yes, sir, I like that plan. God bless you, Andy. Val, let's see if we can get you first on the program tomorrow. I apologize we didn't get on with you today. Folks, if you want to support our work here at Faith and Finance, this is a really important time. Folks have gone before you to challenge you with a $50,000 gift. We're about 20,000 into that, about 30,000 to go between now and June 30th. Gifts at faithfi.com. Just click give. Big thanks to my team today, Autumn, Jim, and Devin. See you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.